Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.
If you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to talk about the Sabbath rest. Obviously, we know the Sabbath rest comes from the root Shabbat. That comes from the Jewish roots. And I wanted to talk quickly, just very quickly, and dig into the idea of the Sabbath rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way." Speaking of the seventh day is speaking of the rest that God had at the end of creation, which is where we get the Sabbath rest. It says, "For he spoke in a certain place," and it says, "God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. It says, therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not because of their disobedience." Again, he designates a certain day, saying, in David, saying, "Today, after such a long time as it had been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So this is the point. "So because of all of that, let us therefore be diligent." Everyone say diligent. Diligent. "To enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." What's so interesting about this is that he says, "Let us diligently enter into rest." It almost feels like an oxymoron, right? Like, it's almost like, wait, work really hard at getting rest. You know, and it actually goes to points, because if you don't, you're being disobedient, to the point where, to Alex's point, where you could go as far as say is that busyness is sin, right? And he says here, if you don't enter into that Sabbath rest that was presented to us on the seventh day after he created the earth and was commanded throughout the Old Testament, that you have fallen into disobedience. So diligently enter in. I want to talk about the Sabbath rest because you know, one of the things that some people have made mistakes about the understanding about Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament law is that some people feel like Jesus destroyed the Old Testament law. Jesus didn't destroy the Old Testament law. He revealed the Old Testament law. You see, because the Old Testament law was a law that you were bound to. In order to have favor with God, you had to obey the law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law and changed it from a law of sin and death to a law of liberty and grace that would be entered into, not ignored. And so when Jesus, because what we have to understand is that the law was not about man, it was about Jesus. So all the points of the law was about revealing the coming Messiah, who he was and what he would accomplish for us. If you have been with me for any period of time, I love to highlight the mysteries of the Old Testament. As Augustine said, he says, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Where Jesus came as this great revealer of mysteries, and he unveiled the beauty of the law. And he goes, you know that lamb that you led into the wilderness for all the sins of Israel, and then you came in and you slaughtered it and sprinkled it on the mercy seat? That was me! Like, everything was prophetic imagery pointing to the beauty of Jesus, the coming Messiah. Every day, sprinkling the mercy seat, they're declaring, there is coming a Messiah. His blood will be sprinkled on the mercy seat for the cleansing of my sins. But it was incomplete, and Jesus came to complete it. And what some people have said is that the Sabbath, the Shabbat, has, because the law has been done away with, the Sabbath has been done away with, but we know for a fact it has not been done away with, because Jesus actually said in Mark 2:27, he said to them, the Sabbath was not made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Or it says that Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus declared himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus declared himself the Lord of rest for the people of God. Because the Shabbat, they were, that all man was being invited to enter into and not be disobedient and not ignore, was not the Friday at sundown Shabbat. It was Jesus, the Shabbat of God. You see, because the law demanded that there would be a law and a demand, you must observe this day or you are in disobedience. Jesus quenched the wrath of the law, and in so doing, he set the Sabbath free, not for the Sabbath to be ignored, but for the Sabbath to be honored through the revelation of Jesus as the day, that the man would become the day that we would enter into. You understand? And so it's no longer, well, what day do we celebrate it? And how long do we do it? And how do we do it? It's not that. The Sabbath is not the law. The Sabbath is the man. Jesus, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. But when we look at the instructions of the Sabbath, there are mysteries about how we enter into Jesus as our rest that helps us understand how to get the most out of it. I love how my child just like walks around like she owns the place. And so I wanna just share a couple things. I'm not gonna go into all of it. I'm like the nerd that like talks about the Kaddish, the cup that's centered in the middle and the proverb that's prayed. I love all that stuff. We don't have time. I'm not gonna get into that, but I do wanna talk about the core elements of the Jewish heritage. Of the Shabbat and how they entered into that day and how that translate to a messianic understanding of entering into his rest and that we are to diligently enter into. The reality is that our lives are to be a Shabbat. Not our moments and not our time, our lives are meant to be a Shabbat. And this is how the Jewish people celebrated Shabbat. First of all, they rested. But not just any rest, specifically the rest called malacha, generally referring to the kind of work that is creative or exercises control or dominion over an environment. If you go to Israel, you walk into an elevator and they have Sabbath elevators. And when you walk into an elevator, you are not allowed to press the buttons on the Sabbath. They just stop at every floor for you, right? Why? Because honoring the Sabbath means that you are not exercising your control over that machine, right? And so the idea of rest is not laying still and not moving, right? It's not sleeping in or folding your hands or watching Netflix. That's not what rest is. Rest is, I am putting down my right to control my environment, and I am honoring the Lord's ability to be the master of my life and all my comings and all of my goings. Rest in the believer does not look like sleeping in on Saturday. Rest looks like I could do this all in my own strength, but I'm going to just lay down my right and trust the Lord. You're good. You got this. I'm going to rest. Here's the crazy thing. I could actually go to Big G's and hang out for hours, and my body could be tired, but I rested because I had this thing where I could have gone and exercised my control over my to-do list, but I chose to deny the right to control and trust the Lord and engage this moment. And I'm tired, but I'm rested. Do you understand? And so understand how what we find is that it's changing our behavior and approach in order to position ourselves differently, to get out of the grind, removing ourselves from the typical conduct and refocusing, removing ourselves from any position of controlling our environment. And trusting the Lord is rest. The second thing about Shabbat and the Jewish heritage is Shabbat is about rest. Shabbat is about observing. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you. You know, for the sake of time and finding them, I'm not. Just trust me. Deuteronomy 5:12 is observing. It is stopping to recognize the majesty and the greatness of God. It's to get out of the limited perspective of the here and now and see how big God is. We need to keep an eternal perspective always before us. And what's one of the things that gets us like weary, right? It's entering into our to-do list and our stuff. We enter into it and we are just overwhelmed by how big the stuff is. Shabbat looks like observing, God, you're bigger than all my stuff, right? It is actually thanking the Lord and being grateful and telling testimonies and stories of his goodness. Like, actually what's happening is, like, you start talking about the goodness of the Lord. Like, so many times I come in on Sundays actually tired. Before the morning's even over, I'm already tired, right? But someone comes up to me and goes, Jamie, we went on the streets this week, and we had words of knowledge, and these things happened, and this happened, and they start telling me testimonies. And it's like 6 hours of sleep just filling my belly. Like, all is rest and this energy. Why? Because my observation of the glory and the goodness of God in my weak moment in life, or I was having a hard moment, to know that God was doing something bigger than me, it brings me rest. And so stepping out of myself and observing the majesty and the glory and the splendor of Jesus is the Sabbath. The third thing is remembering. Deuteronomy 5:14, you can read it. It's thanksgiving and freedom. It's recognizing and thanksgiving for your freedom and salvation. You are no longer a slave to sin. A day to be joyful and praise the Lord for his provision in your life. You know, it's in Jewish culture, it looks like you brought us out of Egypt. Like, to this day, like, actually on celebrating the Sabbath, like, if you come to Israel with me, celebrating Shabbat's one of my favorite parts of being in Israel. Finding a Messianic Jewish community and taking communion with them and celebrating Shabbat. And when you're there, to this very day, everything shuts down. And the religious Jews that are honoring Shabbat are saying, thank you for delivering us out of Egypt. To this very day, they're still thanking God for delivering generations from thousands of years ago, potentially 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, delivering their people. Like, how much more, like, are you bored with your own testimony? It's been a couple years, you're already bored. Like, God, can you do something different now? He saved your butt out of drugs. Like, he saved your family. He restored your marriage. You did all these crazy things. It's to continue to remain in an attitude of gratitude. I feel like one of those posters in the high school with an eagle flying. I do want to read this one, because the other thing, and this is what's so cool, is about, if you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Exodus, but I want to say this, is that the Sabbath is a day of blessing. And what's really cool is in a Sabbath setting with a family, is that there is a set list of blessings. The head of the household will set a cup in the middle of the room and light a candle. And he'll turn to his children with a proverb and go, he'll say, the children are a blessing from the Lord. You are like arrows in the quiver on my side. And he'll turn to his wife and say, you are a mighty woman. And read Proverbs 31. And the father goes around and he blesses his family. And he goes, you are a gift from God to me. And the Sabbath is a day of blessing. It's a day of family. It's a day of connection, investing time, prayer, and connection with those that the Lord has blessed you with. One of the reasons why Alex experienced such a moment of refreshing in hanging out with friends and giving a day for that is because the Lord was present in the connection. In the fellowship of believers and the blessing of friends, in the laughing at each other's jokes, watching YouTube and cracking up, God begins to show up in that environment and goes, I love it when the brethren dwell together in unity. I command a blessing. I love your joy. Your laughters are filling bowls in heaven. I love the sound. It's like praise in my ears is a fellowship of believers. And it's a day of blessing, a Sabbath rest is a time where we choose to bless our friends and to share our love with one another. All of a sudden, that space gets created as a place of Sabbath rest where you might not realize that you think you're entering into just fun conversations. You are entering into Jesus when you fellowship together. It was a time where we used to do these Shabbat dinners, where on Friday night once a month, we'd get into a house and do a big potluck. It's at the start of our church. It's one of the ways we wanted to build fellowship in communities, having Shabbat dinners, right? And so what we'd always do is we'd get out a guitar, and like, tonight's not a night with a plan. All we would do is get a guitar, we would like just pray, I would talk about family for a minute, and then we'd eat. And then you just come and go as you please the whole night. And we stuff our faces, right? And then, but the thing is that we would get ready on Sundays and practice, and then sometimes we'd have hard Sundays. But every Shabbat dinner, the presence of God would come to that house, wherever we were meeting, and invade the fellowship. And Tim and I would sometimes look at each other and go like, is revival happening right now? Like, we've prayed for this day. I thought it was coming in a service. Is it happening right now? Because the presence of God would come so strong in that fellowship and breaking bread that it was overwhelming and nearly intoxicating. And God would fill the laughter, even if the conversation wasn't fully about him. He loved the joy in the fellowship. Are you guys okay? Exodus 16, 27, it says, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, to gather, but they found nothing. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Every time that they would go out on the Sabbath and are trying to find it, they could find nothing. And they worked and it brought nothing home. And the Lord goes, would you stop it? I gave you the bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Would you just trust me? You're not losing out because the Sabbath is a day of fruitfulness. The thing is that when we choose to rest in the Lord, and this is like for real, when we actually have boundaries, right? Like, there's people all the time that have needs in their families. They're like, I'm going to work a double job, and I'm going to work the night shift, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, stop it. Your family's going to get blown out by you. You're going to be angry and cranky. Your kids are not going to like you. You know, you're never going to see your family. There's going to be a lack of joy in your household. You are not resting in the Lord. Like, trust in the Lord. Prioritize fellowship with your family and rest and joy. And trust that if you honor the Lord by not working on the seventh day, that he will show up for your family on the sixth and double what you got in that time. They've actually, listen to this. They have proven by science that spending more hours at work often leads to less time for sleep, and insufficient sleep takes substantial toll on performance. In a study, nearly 400 employees published last year, researchers found that sleeping too little, defined as less than 6 hours each night, was one of the best predictors of on-the-job burnout. A Harvard study estimated that sleep deprivation costs American companies $63.2 billion a year in a loss of productivity. By not getting enough sleep, companies lost $63 billion by making them work too hard. Guys, companies are losing money because they're not letting people sleep. Do you think that maybe that there is a law that God created within mankind that rest is necessary for greater production and even more fruitfulness out of your life? And they understood that they'd work their guts out every day of the week so they could fully rest on the Sabbath day. Here's the point. We're not just to do it on a day, but to live a life that prioritizes rest over my human ability to provide for myself, to trust in the Lord that he would provide for me. And last but not least, it is a day of communion. a day of communion with God. Jesus has become our Sabbath rest. It is no longer about the day, the laws, but about Jesus. A day of fun activity, void of the presence of God, is not the rest of God. It's not the Sabbath. What's interesting is that the cup that was put in the middle of the table during the Sabbath is called the Kiddush cup. It's the same cup that was ceremonially used in a wedding. And it represented a wedding day. And the bread and the wine are the prefiguration of the blood and the body that you and I were purchased for. Because we are the bride of Christ, and Sabbath is intimacy with Jesus. The Sabbath day is recognizing that it is a lifestyle of intimately knowing the Lord as the bride of Christ. It was a prefiguration as a law mandated in order to do it, but it's a prefiguration of the rest that we were created for. It is walking in an ongoing fellowship, passion, and love for Jesus, resting in his presence and making room for it throughout our day. I do not believe in a Sabbath day. I believe in a Sabbath life. I believe in an awareness of Jesus. You know what's so cool is that you have the Ten Commandments. Half of the commandments are about sinning against man. Half of the commandments are about sinning against God. And there's one command in the middle. It's called the Sabbath. That's the one sin about yourself. Honor the Sabbath as a part of the Ten Commandments. And the Jews believed that on one stone was written the sins of man, one stone was written the sins against God, but the Sabbath was the hinge that held the two together. That your only ability to honor man and to honor God was to honor the Sabbath. And here's the thing, is that in order to walk a life of purity, we have to honor the rest of God. By observing, honoring, communing, engaging with the presence of Jesus in our life, not for a day, but as a lifestyle before him. And understanding that any moment that we are overwhelmed and stressed, that we would work diligently to enter into that Sabbath rest and to not be disobedient, not sin against him, but honor the Sabbath, Jesus, as our daily Sabbath, morning and night. Is that all right? Thank you, Alex, for starting that conversation. It's an important part. I watch too many Christians are blown out. How many of us know that the way sometimes our hard work and all that kind of stuff, we're self-sabotaging. And the Lord wants to engage your heart, and you were created for rest.